Good evening, and you're very welcome to In Conversation. I'm Joe McGill. I hope I find you well this evening. I'm out of the studio, which I like to do, get around this wonderful county of ours. I'm here in Dukes, and the reason I'm here is to meet Joanne Morgan, who has spent the past 20 years studying various therapies, such as integrated energy therapy, neuro-linguistic programming, and quantum thinking technologies. She is also a business and life coach and specializes in treating people with anxiety, which is probably a lot of you out there. And we'll find out what all those different words that I've just said mean, because I don't know what half of them mean. But firstly, Joanne, thanks a million for welcoming me here.
Thank you, Joe. Lovely to have you here.
We're here in Dukes. Now, that's different to Cremorne and Glenbey for people that wouldn't know.
It is, yeah. We're situated actually between Glenbey and Cremorne. Yeah.
Did you grow up in Glenbey or Dukes? Where did you grow up?
From Dukes originally, just back near the golf club, about a mile from where I live now. I went to school then in Cremorne, in the National School in Cremorne.
What was that like, Cremorne National School?
It was good, yeah, it was lovely. We started in the old school, which is just there where the post office was now. And then when we were in fifth or sixth class, we moved to a new school.
Oh, very good. And what was that? That must have been a great excitement,
was
it?
Great excitement, yeah, because we got to spend a lot of time packing up and moving and lots of free time.
Yeah.
So that was the best part.
So that old school was relatively recently enough. It was in operation, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I was giving you a compliment there.
Relatively.
You didn't realise. And so what? Where did you go to secondary school then?
Secondary school then was in Killorglan, the community college. Hmm. And that was brilliant. Yeah, that was a great experience.
And did you have a clue of what you wanted to do in life in secondary school?
Absolutely not, to be honest with you. I remember coming up to Leaving Cert and filling out the CAO forms and just being so stressed, did not have a clue what I wanted to do. Sitting at the kitchen table with loads of prospectuses out of different colleges and just not a clue. So in the end, what I decided, I came to the logical conclusion that if I was to do something in business studies, it wouldn't be any great loss because I felt it was generic enough. Mm. And if one day I ever owned my own business, it might come in handy. And I was literally that vague.
Yeah.
So that's what I did then. I did go on to do business studies, degree in business studies in Tralee, IT,
yeah,
which again, I loved. So yeah, I actually loved learning, loved.
And so was it business studies in accounting? Because I would have done business studies myself in college and I went the marketing route, and you can go accountancy or marketing is the way it was for me anyway. I don't know, was it the same?
It was actually. I started off, when I applied for the course, it was a certificate level. It was certificate in business studies in French, marketing. Mm. And then it was extended to a degree program in Tralee, which was great. So I got to do my degree there. Business studies and marketing is what I specialised in, yeah.
So you finish your business studies degree and then you know exactly what you want to do in life?
Actually, no. I still didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah, so finished the degree. I got a good degree. I was very happy with that. And still not sure what I wanted to do. So just started applying for jobs in business, which of course is very difficult because it's catch 22. You come out of college, you have no experience, so everyone's looking for experience, but you have none, so how are you meant to get a job if you don't have experience? So I ended up working in a call centre. It was in Killarney with an American company called Rosenbluth International. I was there for about a year to a year and a half. Absolutely did not like it. I realised then that being in an office or being tied to a desk wasn't for me at all. So I spent that year, I suppose, frantically sending out CVs and applying everywhere and anywhere for more jobs without any real focus or direction, really, because I still wasn't clear on what I wanted to do, but was applying for jobs in business. Ended up working in sales. I got a job after that with the Kerryman newspaper in Tralee, which was brilliant. I was repping for them in North Kerry and West Limerick. Absolutely loved that in the sense that I was getting out and about and meeting people. So very quickly I discovered that meeting people, I suppose I always had an interest and loved meeting people, but that really suited me. And I was with the Kerryman for about 5 years, and then a job came up with Radio Kerry, actually, which was sales rep or account manager for South Kerry, which was brilliant. So I applied for that and got it, which was fantastic. So I was back on home turf.
Yeah. And what was it like? You know, I'd say you met some characters out and about, did you? What was that experience like? You know, meeting all these different people from all different walks of life.
I did. You know, it was fascinating because I was always fascinated by people. And like 99.9% of the time you meet really, really nice people. Always a chat and a laugh and a banter. I never looked at a call as a wasted call, even if it wasn't a sale, because you met someone, you'd made a connection, you'd a chat, you'd interaction, you know. It was just lovely, to be honest with you. And yeah, pure characters. It was fun.
What's the key to be a good salesperson?
Like people. Have an actual genuine interest in people. Because yeah, while you are in sales, there are targets and all of that that goes with it. And but if you have a real interest in people, and because I genuinely did care, I wanted the best for them and their business, and I think that comes across as opposed to being a pushy salesperson. I often say I never sold a day in my life. It just happened somehow.
Yeah. And I suppose relationships is a big thing as well, because, you know, the ones that you're looking after, they're going to come back to you continually. But then if you're trying to get a new sale, it's a lot more difficult probably.
Yeah. Once you have the relationships and you build the rapport, it certainly gets easier. Building new relationships does take a while. Obviously, you have to gain the trust. However, if there is a likability or a genuineness, I think that comes across pretty quickly. And if I called someone maybe two or three times and still no sale, I'd never look at that as a waste. I'd still be polite, courteous, happy to see them. It was just, it's all rapport building or just part of the job.
Mm. And I suppose the name of Radio Kerry was helpful as well when you were going to new places, was it?
Absolutely. I mean, Radio Kerry is an exceptionally strong brand, radio station. So yeah, it was certainly made it easier.
You would have been in Radio Kerry, so selling advertising when the recession hit, were you?
Yeah.
Okay. So that, what was that like?
I could see businesses were struggling. These were people that I got very close to and their families, and got to know a lot about them. And they were genuinely struggling. Not sure what was facing them. So there was financial worry there, and that was really hard because you were hearing this all the time. And I suppose I would have been very sensitive anyway by nature. So I found that really difficult, and I was probably carrying that and probably carrying worry and stuff as well.
Yeah. And did that have an effect on yourself personally then? You know, we mentioned anxiety at the start. Is that where the anxiety started with yourself?
It wasn't where it started. Well, I suppose I know that now with hindsight. But yeah, it did have a huge impact on myself.
What is anxiety?
It's really, it's so hard to describe. I suppose when you're experiencing it, I can talk from my own experience. Yeah. When I was experiencing it, what was it like? It's literally like where your head, your mind is just out of control. It won't stop. It just won't stop processing and overthinking and going. It actually feels like it is boiling. It is at such a boiling point. I often remember thinking if I could just cut off my head and put it in a freezer for a couple of hours at that and reattach it, that then I might have peace. It's absolutely no peace whatsoever, where it's just racing, burning. It's out of control. Then, of course, couldn't sleep. Or it might take hours to get to sleep. And then maybe eventually, if I did get to sleep, it just waking out of my sleep, just literally jumping out of my sleep. It's where the subconscious mind takes over and starts running the show, because it thinks we're in danger. Or
is that flight or fright?
Yeah. Yeah. It's where it kicks in and takes over. It thinks we're in danger, that we're not safe. We need to get away from the imaginary wild bear.
And that physically manifests itself then as well, because it's a vicious cycle, I'd imagine.
Totally, yeah. Because what happens then is your subconscious mind, because we're 95% subconscious, okay? We're 5% conscious or 5% aware. So how anxiety sets up is somewhere in our formative years or somewhere in our early years, from 0 to 7 to 10 or even sometimes teens. I've seen all different ages where it's set up. So sometime that we perceived being not safe or in danger of any description, the subconscious mind locks in that feeling because it knows it's not a comfortable feeling for us. So it locks it in, and it also locks in how to recreate it. So it engages the endocrine system. This is a very simple version, but it engages the endocrine system. So we can fire the adrenals at any stage to pump that adrenaline if it thinks we're in danger. And just pumps the adrenaline, and we've just got the flight or fight now, and it's going all the time.
I'm just thinking there now. So you're out for like 6 months to a year almost, and you're thinking, no, I can't go back. This is my chance to start something new. But before we go on to something new, what were you getting done to treat the reasons you were off sick?
Okay, I tried every modality under the sun, to be honest with you. I suppose first and foremost was with my doctor. I have a wonderful doctor in Killarney, Dr. Fiona. She was absolutely amazing. Gave me a real sense of hope that this would come to an end at some stage, because I really couldn't see how, because I just felt so sick. So real sense of hope there, and working very closely with her. Then I tried lots of other different modalities, from healing, also did some counselling, did everything really to help myself. And eventually I found a modality, neuro-linguistic program is what was really helping to just switch the subconscious mind back into alignment, just bring it back to the start, hit the reset button basically. So I was able to get rid of the subconscious pattern that was running, because it's literally subconscious mind running the show on its own. So it was about getting that back.
But the break, obviously, the 6 months on its own, you know, I'm thinking, you know, if you take yourself out of the stress of work, that does it align it itself? It obviously wasn't.
No.
The pattern was still going.
Still going, because if you think about it, okay, say the work wasn't the real cause. It was triggering something that was already in me. And it took me a while to realise that. You know, we can say, oh, if X wasn't happening, I'd be okay, or it's this fault or that fault. But it's actually not, because in hindsight, when I've been able, now that I'm able to look back on it, I can actually see that anxiety was actually always there in me anyway. I just didn't realise it at the time. I thought it was normal to wake up feeling a bit nauseous or butterflies, that feeling of anxiousness in the tummy. I thought that was normal. I thought it was quite normal to go to work feeling like that. It was only when it was gone afterwards I realised, God, I had that feeling all the time. But it might have been at a 3 or 4, 2, 3, 4 out of 10. When the anxiety peaked, it was at 10 out of 10. Mm. So that's when you really notice it. But in actual fact, it was there all the time. So that was a pattern that I had set up in my childhood formative years. So what happened in the external world that brought it to peak, that was never the cause. Mm. So in finding the solution, or what I do with clients now, it's going back to where the cause set up, finding where it's set up, what the perceived danger situation was, or situation was, and cutting the roots of that. Because what's happening when we're adults and anxiety is firing, or worry or any fear, any of those patterns that are linked, it's coming with like a busload or an arctic load of emotions of fear from the past, which is driving it to a very high level. Maybe the situation at hand might warrant worry or fear at a 3 or 4 out of 10, but because it's got rooted in the past and there's a load of it coming up from the past, it drives it up really high to an 8 or 9 or 10.
It's very interesting. My guest this evening is Joanne Morgan. We're here in Dukes. We're going to take a break and we'll have more after this.